Blog Talk Radio.
Early in the morning, rise into the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason, reason things went wrong. Got to find a reason why my money's all gone. I got a Dalmatian, I can still get high.
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day, talking to the folks that are doing everything around HR, supporting, practitionering, don't even know if that's a word, but it is now, and so we talk to them every day about things that are going on. So let's get to our guests. Want to welcome, first of all, qualify that we all have business crushes out there. This is one of my business crushes, so I get a little bit, you know, I flush a little bit and get a little bit excited, and it's good to hear your voice. So we've got Mary Delaney. Welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Well, thank you, Brian, and the feeling is mutual.
Oh, now I won't be able to talk the whole show. So, well, if you would, Mary, well, again, welcome back to the show. You've been on a couple times, so it's your insight is always fantastic because you've got so much experience and a long time in the industry and a lot of different twists and turns and zigs and zags, and so it's great to get perspective. So if you would introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll roll into our big question after that.
Sure. Thank you, and welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining today. As Brian said, my name is Mary Delaney, and I work for a company called Luceo. We're a recruitment technology company. Our mission is to take the challenge out of hiring great talent. We're 10 years old. We're a privately held subsidiary of Career Builder, and I've spent the past decade and a half with Career Builder. Right now with Luceo, leading Luceo. Prior to that, I started and found Personified, which was a consulting company focused on branding, technology consulting, and recruitment process. And prior to that, I was the CSO over at Career Builder for several years.
Well, great way to kick it off. So as everybody sees, a lot of experience in the space supporting the what we all talk about every day. So, Mary, what's currently keeping you up at night in HR?
Oh, so many things. There's many, many changes going on. I think one interesting area to talk about is we recently did a candidate behavior study, and we studied over 5,500 candidates and almost 3,000 recruiters, trying to assess the landscape and what's changed, and based on that, how do employers need to react to those changes to make sure they're, you know, staying competitive on how to attract and hire top talent.
Well, what were some of the surprises? For me, it's always not so much validation. It's always like the aha of, I did not see that coming.
Well, you're an old timer like me in this area, so you and I both know the terms passive and active. And I think the first thing that jumped out of me is that really is almost obsolete now. That we found that 77% of full-time workers said they're open or actively looking for new opportunities. That grew from 72% last year, and it's grown at a rate of 5 to 10% a year for the last 4 or 5 years. So over three-quarters are open or actively looking at all the time. I think what was even more interesting is what that means and how they look and what their process is. And it said that they actively look and research on 16 different sources to determine whether or not they are going to really engage and start their job search in an in-depth way, and it also allows them to decide which companies they're going to hone in on. And they do that. There's four steps that we kind of identified were part of this new life cycle that candidates go through: orientation, consideration, action, and engagement. And the first two steps go on for a year, where they're looking and researching and writing resumes and checking social media to see if who you say you are is really who you are to your own employees. And then they let you know about them. And within weeks, they hone in and decide, this is the company I want. So it's almost that they're in stealth mode for so long and you don't know they exist. And then once you know they exist, you have a very short time frame to get them to say, you're the company, which changes everything that we've known from when you and I started in this industry.
Well, this is a fantastic learning that you can share with our audience. Well, Mary, if we can talk a little bit about, you know, the difference between active and passive candidate, that would be great to the recruiters that are listening and how they can tweak their candidate experience to this diverse applicant pool.
Sure. So I think a couple things are different now. Brand matters more than ever today. And we saw that in the survey where 91% say the brand plays a key role in their decision, and that's really your company culture and that's your reputation for how you treat your employees. And so they even said they would take a pay cut to be lower than their minimum acceptable pay if it was for a company that they rated with a high employment brand. So brand is really high, and I think one way that companies can do something about that is to do a true, honest assessment of their brand, to go out and apply to their own company, to search their company and search with different keywords to assess how are they perceived out there? What are their employees saying about them in social media? What are the third-party companies that provide data on companies saying about them as an employer of choice? And then to go look at who they think are their top competition. And I think this is an interesting place where you have to say, not who's my competition for business, but who's my competition for talent? Because the answer to that question is very different many times. If I hire STEM folks, which are, you know, some of the most difficult to hire right now, if I'm hiring those types of folks and someone in a whole different industry is hiring similar technology folks, they might not be my competition for business, but they are for talent. So what's their application process? What's their compensation? How are they known as an employer of choice? And really take a 360 view of who you are versus the others in the competitive market you're in.
That's great. So what's your take on, you know, generally attracting the candidates from the competitors? Because when we talk about that, they already know the industry. They already know how it works. So organizations can take that to and leverage that for their benefit, right? But then how do we kind of survive in this competition, you know, to let the talent stay with your own organization?
Well, I think a couple things. You know, we've all heard about big data and that big data is a real key, and it's being used in recruitment a lot now. It's being used in a few areas. One is to really understand the target audience you're looking at, what they value in a company. So not only how they perceive you, but what they value in a company. And if you can study, if you're looking for a certain type of developer and you study those folks and you understand what they want, there might be a gap between what your competition's offering in that area and what you can offer. For example, small businesses, I think sometimes they feel maybe they don't have all the competitive brand advantages that some of the Fortune 500 bring. But there's a lot of things that the small businesses bring to the table that big ones can't compete with, like being able to make a significant difference in the company right away because there's just not as many people. The ability to be heard and be seen by the executive suite. You know, the ability to move up in the organization much quicker than maybe some of the other types of big companies that have, you know, more bureaucratic processes along the way. So it's trying to find out what those folks want in a company, match it up with what you offer, and make sure you're marketing those to that competitive group. I want to give you one example of how we helped in my previous company, in Personified, how we helped a company do that. It's one of the largest companies in the world, hires a lot of IT folks, yet for 3 years in a row when we took them on, they had missed their goal, and they were somewhere between 40 and 55% of their goal every year for 3 years. And, you know, having technology people is really the key to innovation and getting ahead, so they needed those folks on board. So what we did is we went out, and anyone could do this on their own. We studied the types of folks they needed. We looked at where they are in the country, where there's more supply than demand, so that we could say we're going to go into the markets where there's an excess capacity of these folks. We looked at what those folks wanted in a company and where they were today and how we could target a message that was relevant to the candidates but also aligned with who this big company was. And we had to market the city they would have to move to, et cetera. But then we emailed, we called, we advertised where these folks went on boards, on social media, and then we held days where we would bring in 150, 200 folks to do interviews, and the executives of this company came and held sessions. They did interviews, and the compelling offer was, you come here for one day. At the end of the day, you will have an offer, or you will not have an offer, but you will know. It will be one day where your life could change. And so we were attracting amazing talent. And for the first time in 3 years, they hit their goals, and they started to hit their goals consistently thereafter. So big data combined with some intense recruiting and employment branding are some of the ways that I think would make a difference attracting from the competition.
Well, and what a great example of, again, it wasn't like you were creating a new technology to help do this. It wasn't like you were creating a new process that had maybe never been thought about in pieces. But it definitely was packaged and presented in a way that hit where people probably were hurting the most, pain-wise, around, I don't like the process, right? And if I can go invest my time and one day I can have closure and then move on to something else. So there's a lot of hope wrapped around that in a short amount of time.
That's right. And all of those things people can do on their own. You now with social media, you can have a community of talent, and you can survey and study them. You can understand what they want. You can study your own employees to understand why they join and why they stay. And using that information, then there's all different types of data available to understand supply and demand, labor pressure. Our CEO at CareerBuilder just published a book on using big data to be able to be competitive in this, you know, talent war out there, so to speak. And you can do all that and then have your day's events, and that can be done truly on your own. What I found is when you have executives and HR for one day having 150 interviews, it was almost like you put your recruitment process and brand out in this petri dish for everyone to see and assess. And at the end of that day, that first time, there were so many takeaways. And where are we strong? What can we do better? And you were aligned. Executives and HR and hiring managers were all aligned after that, much more clearly than they were before, on what they needed to change and do to compete moving forward.
Well, that's, again, great example that everybody can do. It doesn't, you know, you don't need to spend, you know, $100,000 to get that done. And so small companies probably will even be able to do that with more agility than large companies. So talk about a competitive, you know, differentiator. Switching gears on you, and I know the term has came up a couple times, is I want to get kind of your definition for you. What is innovation within a company look like, feel like, smell like?
To me, innovation within a company means your first-level people are empowered to bring ideas to the table, to run experiments, to make mistakes, and the experiments that pay off, you quickly learn, you invest in them, and move on. And so it's how do you uncap the potential of all your employees to bring the best idea the company has ever had and invest in them.
Well, and that's and I'm seeing that continually with the companies that you always kind of put a label on that they're innovative companies, right? They just always seem to go right to the top as far as, you know, literally kind of that culture component. So next question is how do you try and act and spell out culture for your own company? Because you guys are kind of a you know, it's an interesting, you know, kind of the history of your company is pretty interesting, and you've got a lot of different moving parts, and it's spread out globally. And so how did you establish or how did you build a culture that you feel really good about?
Sure. A couple things with that, and I'll answer a little bit Career Builder, a little bit Luceo, because we are one company, and then in some ways we run together, and in some ways we run on our own when it's productive. At CareerBuilder overall globally, we have something called Cagility, which is candor and agility combined. And it goes to the heart of how do we unlock that potential and invite people at all levels to bring the best next business idea to the company. And so there's all different ways people can deploy Cagility in the organization, whether it's sessions every month that technology can partner with a non-technology partner, whether there's someone in sales or marketing or HR or finance to bring an idea to the table. They have 15 minutes to show what it is, and then based on the people that win in that day, they have a certain amount of time that they are allotted in their business day to make that idea come to fruition. There's business plans that people get to bring business plans to the company every year, and the top one or two or three get funded, and the people that brought the idea to the table get to interview to be the leader of that business. A lot of our current businesses really came out of those types of meetings. And there are several other ideas that way. Even for our charitable funds, people can bring ideas on how to invest a certain amount of money into a current charity or actually create a new one. And if it solves problems of either helping with the skills gap out there globally and empowering individuals to become employed, then there's a good chance that that could be funded. So it's really deployed throughout the organization.
Wow, this is such a great initiative. And in fact, employees adore this type of initiatives when they have in their organization. Well, Mary, going back to one of your previous points that I wanted to touch base with is, you know, culture and competency. And this type of conversation always happens, you know, when we talk to anybody in HR, talent acquisition, or recruitment. But here the question is, you know, we always talk about great talent or hiring great talent. So what is the difference between great talent and the right talent?
That's a great question. I think I'd be worth millions of dollars if I figured that one out, right? You know, it's really, it's how do you assess that up front, right? Because it's interesting when people 3 months in or 6 months or 12 months will come to me and say, I made a hiring mistake. You know, this person was a hiring mistake. And I say, you never can say you made a hiring mistake. One, it's a cop-out, and there's no way to learn by saying you made a hiring mistake. The day you hired them, they came with all the rocket fuel they had, and somehow between that day and now, it's been, you know, squashed by something we've done or not done. And so I think it's much more useful to say we made some type of onboarding mistake or a fast start mistake. But the difference between really the good and the great, I would say, is really something that's so difficult to measure, and that is, you know, that internal drive, the desire to be exceptional, the desire to act every day like it's your own business. And that's difficult to measure up front. Now, everyone has their own formula. I was talking to someone in technology who said, you know, I really focus all my time asking about what they do outside of work and how they've utilized technology in their personal lives. And if they say, I've worked with this charity and I've helped them, you know, solve these things by developing this technology solution and I've applied it in my son's baseball team and I've done this and that, it shows curiosity and a passion for their trade and constant innovation that this person deploys 24/7. And that's, I think, what you have to look for. You have to look for is someone who makes it happen versus lets it happen, someone who is very inquisitive and acts like an owner. I think those are some of the traits that makes a difference. I have a list of 12 or 13 that I use and I try and measure, and they are very, they would be traits that you would say are not something you can measure or assess except by watching someone over a long period of time. But I've tried to build up my own questions or things I can ask to study these about folks and assess whether or not they have these skill sets or traits or gifts internalized. Because I don't think you can create, you can't fill up their tanks. You can empty them. You can't fill them up. So it's really finding ones with a fuel tank full and that they're quick learners, they're highly intuitive, they're great critical thinkers. They can be effective in a team, strong communicators. And those are some of the things that I think are really important.
Wonderful. And it's always seen that, you know, when we have the talent that is properly aligned with the organizational goals and then with the right manager, he turned out to be a high-potential employee, right? So in that case, how can organizations retain these high-potential employees in their organization?
Now you're talking about my passion. my thing there is, first of all, everything needs to be people first. When we look at an organization, what we need to look at is our people, before numbers, before products, but people. Because if you look at your people first, everything else will happen. because your people wake up every day and want to give their best to the company. They want to be exceptional. No one wakes up and says, today I'm going to go to work and do a terrible job. And so if you look to them and say, what other training can I give them? What other types of motivators or tools can I give them to be more successful? Where do they want to go personally and professionally, and how do I help them get there? You know, the first place we should look when we have an opening is in our own talent pool, and not just who has all the skills today, but who's close. Or who could have the skills if I just give them the shot? They've got the raw materials. Let me go train them on the area that is missing and allow them to go into that position. Because I think when you put people in 12 feet of water that are good, strong people who love the company, they figure out how to swim in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, we have a quote from one of our audience, Richard Sherman. He is saying, in my honest opinion, you can find out about curiosity, you know, without asking about a candidate's personal life outside of work. So when we interview candidates, how do we deal with, you know, asking some of the personal questions, some of their, you know, interests, that can be a match to the profile that we are hiring for? And yes, if he's going to be a, you know, a fun and friendly person, yes, he would survive in their work culture. That sort of narratives can we make by considering the personal life of a candidate?
One of the things I ask about is about the things that they're most proud of, the things that when they look back over their life, what are the top achievements that they look back and say, I really did exceptional in these areas. And I ask them to give me two from their early life, two from kind of their more advanced education, whether that's high school and college, college and graduate school, whatever, you know, depending on the position. And then I ask them to give two personal and two professional. And I just say jot down three or four words about each of these areas that highlight your greatest achievements, whatever they are that you are most proud of. And then I ask them to list them out for me. First of all, to see how short or long it takes for someone to put their eight kind of achievements in their different areas is interesting. Some people it's 3 minutes, some people it's 10. And I just sit there quietly. And then I ask them to tell them to me just one sentence each, and I ask them what their biggest one is. The one they're most proud of all those areas, which allows you to start to understand kind of what's the area that that motivates them. Because when you hear what they're most proud of, and then you start to say, tell me about that. Help me understand how you got involved. What was most challenging about it? If I was there watching you do it, what would I see you doing? You either hear we did this, we did that. You can ask who's we. Or you hear I did this, I did that. You can hear they're more an individual person. And to find out what was most satisfying. You know, I remember this one woman years ago, she said it was about riding this bike when she was in first grade. And so I said, tell me about that one. And she had gotten scoliosis and that she had just gotten a new boy's bike. And the doctor said she could never ride a bike. And she asked her mom to put it in the basement, and she'd get on and off it on a step every day, and she practiced, and one day she rode it in the basement, and she came out and she said, Mom, we need to go to the doctor's office right now with my bike. I'm going to go show him. And by this time, it was a couple years later, and to see her fight and her spirit and her motivation to beat down anything that is she has been told that she can't overcome. And to this day, I hired her, and I hired her three times in three different companies. But she's that person, right? She overcomes every challenge. She never lets you down. No is the motivator and has gotten her to exceed everyone's expectations. And I think some of those types of questions allow you to really learn a lot about people before you hire them.
Yeah, and that is a great way to end the show. Mary, thank you so much. We are out of time. It goes fast. So
sure does.
I know. Thank you. Wonderful. You spent lunch with us. Great insight. Very good examples. Would love to have you on again later in 2014 if possible. So, and we are going to roll on out, folks. We are out of time. Have a good rest of the day.
It might seem crazy.